Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Every Genesis is a reminder to try something new, to keep growing, keep hustling, keep beginning. At Genesis, they harness that mindset into their performance SUV, the GV70. Turn heads with a stunning design inside and out. Discover intuitive technology inside the GV70 with a 14.5-inch infotainment system. The Genesis GV70 is for those who are making their mark on the world and want to enjoy luxurious amenities while they do it. So go on and enjoy an exhilarating drive in the GV70. Your Genesis GV70 is waiting for you. Learn more at genesis.com. Genesis, keep beginning. Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel Zoe, and you're listening to Climbing in Heels. This show is all about celebrating the most extraordinary superwomen who will be sharing their incredible journeys to the top, all while staying glamorous. Today with me, we have celebrated actress and now teen skincare founder, Julie Bowen. You, of course, know her as America's mom, Claire Dunphy, from the incredibly famous, hilarious, iconic, legendary TV show, Modern Family. And now she's launching a skincare line specifically for teens called JB Scrub. On today's episode, Julie talks about her childhood, how she grew up as the quiet child. Shocking, I know. I would never think that in a million years. We also chat about being women in the entrepreneurial world and the fears that come along with that, of which there are many. And I just want to introduce my friend and the amazingly talented, very intelligent Julie Bowen. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you love this episode.
You've got more than one kid, and so do I. And so I realize now that you can't take credit for their successes any more than you can take blame for their failures. There's a lot of kids that come out as they come out, you know, like I've got one who's got 100%. Learning issues. I've got one who's really athletic. I've got one who's super studious. And within there, of course, you can shape and grow and help mold, but really they are who they are. So my younger sister is an infectious disease specialist in San Francisco. She's casual, fucking smart.
Yeah, I mean,
crazy smart, and always was. She's like the smartest one in the family. And then my other sister's an interior designer here in LA, and has had her own business for 19 years. And then I was the quiet one, and I sort of got assigned the like role of like the artist, but that never really fit because I was never very artistic. And finally, somewhere along the way, Molly, my designer sister, and I kind of. She was studying acting and I was supposed to be doing art. And I was like, switch. And she went to design school and I went to acting school, and everything from there worked out much better. But I definitely felt like I wasn't allowed to step into that zone because she had it. She had the acting.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, we're a family of actors. It was like Molly was the actor. Annie was the doctor, and I was supposed to be some sort of artist. And so
were you black sheep? Were you like, oh God,
for sure. It was like, what are we going to do?
Middle? Are you the middle? Are you the middle?
Yeah. I'm the middle. And I always did well in school, but then like, what do you do after school? Like, I'm really good at sitting in a classroom and taking notes and taking tests, which is, that's okay. But it's kind of a useless skill. Like you said before, it's not really test taking.
It doesn't define you.
No. And you get out of school and no one's going to give you, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. And then you take a test, you're going to get an A. Then how am I going to be an actor? But I luckily was really dumb about how hard it was going to be. Like, I think that's the best thing is to be young and dumb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, would you have ever started your massive stylist career if you had any idea. And what, how that you yourself would become the front of the story. Like most people like you, the work is at the front of the story and your work was the front of the story. And then so were you. Like you never would have.
And didn't want to be. And that's the sort of irony of it is that like my dad would always be like, you're on the wrong side. I'm like, no. This is the side where I belong. This is where I'm comfortable. This is where I'm happy. And I want to fluff the train. I don't want to wear the train. Like,
and so what did he say? Is he still alive?
It was, he's alive. And my dad is just like, you know, he was always, is my biggest cheerleader, but was always like, I told you. And I was like, no, dad, I'm still more comfortable on the other side. And he just said, well, life had a different plan for you. And I was like, no, I'm still fighting the plan. And he was like, you know, I think what's very interesting is that some of the most successful people I know, like yourself, it wasn't necessarily the plan. A lot of very successful, talented artists that I know are very shy, grew up very shy. They swear they were shy. And which I believe, because I actually think acting is a way to kind of, you know, I was a psych major. So for me, it's sort of like, I feel like that's the dream because you get to be your shy self in your real life. And then you get to jump into that other person.
And you get to put in your acting wall between the two. Right. I agree. I think it's like stutterers. They say that they don't stutter if you give them a script to read. It's the act of trying to think while speaking that's so hard.
Yes.
And I was very quiet. I wasn't super shy. I was just much quieter than my sisters. I was much more sort of a student all the time. That's all I thought of myself as. But if you gave me a script, if you told me this is the safe place, here's your stage, you can act it all out. I loved that. I really loved that. But then
isn't
in my
own life,
I don't feel that comfort of acting out. Like I told everybody, I told Nora, we both are involved with Baby to Baby. And they're always saying, oh, you were that thing with Rachel. I go, I know. And I didn't talk to her again. They go, why? I go, because I'm scared of her. Like, why are you scared of her? I go, because she's always like done and beautiful and together. And I'm always going to just, I'm like, I feel like I have to apologize for that she,
it's like so me nuts.
Vidal Sassoon in the 70s and he would be like, oh darling, no. The hair,
but you know that to me, and this is I think where we feel very connected. Like to me, and if you ask, like I feel like I'm a hot mess. Like I may be in like fur and jewels and whatever because that takes me 5 minutes to do. But like but internally I'm like, oh my God, you're such a mess. Like you're such a hot mess. So like, maybe that's my subconscious, like just throw on some glamour so you don't feel like such a hot mess, but like,
maybe.
But I do. I mean, so
it works though. It's like armor for you. It's very beautiful armor.
It is armor.
I was like, we show up to these events. I'm like, oh, stand as far away from her as possible. Cause it's like, she's like a rainbow.
You're so crazy. And then you walk in and everybody's just happy. And we're like, oh my God, Julie's here. Everything's going to get better. You know, but you're also such a great champion. And I see the way I've always felt, I never got a shy vibe. I always got like a funny vibe. I got this vibe that you were going to come in and just be this like hilarious, self-deprecating, but straightforward, get shit done kind of person. And I also want to go back for a second because I did happen to trip over a piece of paper that might've said you went to like 9 schools. Did you go to Brown or am I hallucinating?
I went to Brown.
Okay. I also need to talk about that. Cause you're like, oh, my sister, the infectious disease specialist, she's the smart one.
Yeah. Okay. She's the smart one.
So, okay. Cause Brown is a really easy school to get into. Cause last time I checked, Brown is like in the top 10 schools in the world. So, so I want to talk about that.
I did.
You are an
Brown
academic,
and I
my
did
friend.
Get it. Yes. And I did. I could have spent my whole life as an academic, to be honest with you. I would be so happy doing like in a parallel universe. I do nothing but go to the library and read books and write papers.
It's like my worst
really
nightmare.
I was really good at that. And I was not really good at real life. Real life is much harder for some people than school.
It is.
I have one son who's got ADHD and real life for him, he understands it.
Of course
school
he's brilliant.
Hard for him, but he gets real life. He's like,
see that by
guy,
the way, isn't
I can
that
do
better?
That. Yes. Mm-hmm. So yes, I was good at academics and I did really well in school, but it doesn't always translate to real life. And like, how are you going to apply this and what are you going to do? And I always felt embarrassed to have ambitions or goals. Somehow that was like, don't talk about it.
Do you think?
I feel like, well, my parents were always, you know what tall poppy syndrome is? It's like, you don't want to be the tallest poppy because that's the one that like the whirling blades from the grass and the mower are coming for. So you don't want to stick up too much because that's who's going down first. And then
really,
always, yeah. And my parents also said, you know, your name should never be in the paper except when you're married and when you die. They're very old school. Like, that's what that is their dream for the ones that they love is anonymity.
I think you kind of let them down there, babe. Cause,
yeah. And they said, well, it's not good. It's not good that people know your name and it's not good to be out there because then they gun for you. And there's some of that is true. Some of that is
weird, it is institutional
paranoia, but some of that is true. And I've found ways to deal with it, as I'm sure you have. Ungoogleable. Like, would you ever Google yourself, Rachel?
Oh, hell no.
Right.
Hell no.
But did you ever Google yourself? No. There were a time where you're like, it's so fun. And then one day you just get smacked in the face and you're like, oh God. No,
because my reality, it's so funny, is that like, you know, I was just talking to an agent over the weekend and saying, you know, I was canceled so many times before canceling was a thing. Like, because like to your point about the poppy, and I think it's probably why I was so, and still continue to be more comfortable on the inside, other side, right. Is that I don't like being that poppy because it's like, I always thought of it as like a shark, right? Like I thought of it as the human and the shark. It's like, you see the leg, you're like, right. And so for me, I have had so many women try and take me down. Even just doing nothing but being kind, honest, loyal, like, and my clients never tried to, it wasn't that, it was just the people on the more macro. And so it was before this much social media. So I think it was like, I think in a sense, I was probably canceled a few times. And I think I knew I was canceled, but it wasn't called canceled. So I think I just kept trucking along and kept going, well, I'm still going to work my ass off and hope for the best. Cause you know, and so I think it's interesting because I think parents, you know, speaking about your parents and that, it's funny because even not thinking about it, my dad going, you should do this. Cause I was the person that got offered Sandy in Greece and declined it and took Cha-Cha because she had three lines, you know? So I was like, no, I don't want to be Sandy. Actually,
I mean, who the hell wants to live?
I mean, I think we all had to be in it.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I didn't want to be the lead. Definitely didn't want to be the lead. Cha-Cha was better.
But you always had your work that was out there too, pre-social media and, you know, where social media allowed people to be famous for being famous. And you got famous for dressing famous people and making them look really beautiful. And then you sort of became the center of the story for a lot of that. But no matter how many times they quote unquote canceled you, you were still putting your work out and your work was always impeccable. And like, that is something that you could, no matter whether no one ever saw your face or not, it was like, you were still like, oh, who styled her for that? Oh yeah, that's Rachel. That's amazing. Like you were doing, you're always putting out the work. And that's
because it's what drives me.
Right. Right. And then obviously the business, like you pivoted to business in such a huge way. Like what percentage of your time is spent styling individuals now versus running your business?
None styling. 5%.
None.
5%. 5%. I mean, here's the thing. I'm always styling on some level, like meaning through different partnerships and different creative directing that I do. I'm always styling, but in terms of literal red carpet styling, I worked with Dylan Penn while she was promoting her movie last year with her dad in Cannes. And that was the first time I had done somebody in probably like 6 years, 7 years, because
really,
I really had to stop and pause and take a breather, because I think for 15 years, 24/7. And then I think when I started my other businesses, styling for me is probably like acting for you. It's who I am. It's at my core. It's what I love. I love it so much that I can't do it a little. It's almost like, and right when I jumped in to do Dylan, it was sort of like Roger would wake up at like 3 a.m. and find me. She was in Cannes and I would be like on the phone with Chanel and like just literally like online for 3 hours in the middle of the night, just pulling looks and pulling couture and changing the dress and like da da da. And Roger was like, it's like you have a disease. So I call it psychostylist disease. It's almost like I can't. So it's almost like I have to do it 100. And so now I'm just now at the point where I'm like, okay, I feel the need to go back to this in a smaller way, meaning like doing one or two people, you know, and because it is all consuming. I love it with every inch of my soul, but the business is different and there's a lot of politics and it's a lot of, a little bit creative and a lot of drama. And I think I just got to a point where like, you know, you get beaten enough. You're just like, okay, like I need to pause because I need to stop and remember why I love this. And it took me a while, honestly. It took me a while.
Do you ever get inspired still, like the Met Ball, you see the red carpet, or like this year, I always look to all those pictures. And this year at the Oscars, I was like, this is exciting. I was excited because everybody was naked. I was like, oh, it's a thing. And it was a bold thing. And I was so glad I didn't have to wear any of those clothes. But it was like a whole naked moment that was happening. And I was like,
literally naked. Literally naked.
I was kind of blown away, but there's moments in like fashion where you go, oh, that must have been really exciting / terrifying. Versus here's a beautiful gown on a beautiful woman, you know?
Sure.
That was like a next level.
I am now, the reason it's funny, one of the agents at CAA asked me on Friday night, they said, wait, are you coming back? And I was like, just like for one or two spots, you know, just maybe if it's all the stars line and it's right. And she said to me, okay, why now? What is it? And I said, I'm feeling an obligation to use some of the magnificent things that are being shown that aren't being worn. And it's upsetting me deeply. And I feel that I need to place them on people and they need to have their moment. It's like upsetting me, the things that I'm like seeing coming out of Paris and at couture. And I'm like, why is no one wearing these things? I don't understand.
Why aren't they wearing them?
I know the reason to that.
There's politics. Mostly because they're not going to let anybody wear those dresses. It can only be Kate Blanchett.
Yeah. I mean, and she's rewearing now because she's the coolest. And, you know, her and Kate Middleton are just rewearing. But I think for me, it's all about being driven by the passion for what we do. And I think starting my different parts of my business were like, okay, it's time to like do other things. And everything I do is centered around women. And I think trying to help them kind of live their best lives. And I think make that process of being anxious about A, being a woman from a psychological perspective, B, using your voice, C, kind of really taking that extra whatever it is to look better so that you walk out with like looking at people instead of down.
Right.
And
conscious.
I think, down and conscious. And I think, listen, I think we make fun of ourselves. I think women in general are self-deprecating because I think it's our defense. And I think we feel sometimes embarrassed about like, you know, our ambitions, to your point earlier. And it's interesting because to me, clearly, you know, your sisters are ambitious. You're ambitious. I find it so interesting because I talk a lot on this podcast about how our education really doesn't define us. And I think that so many of the most successful people I know literally didn't graduate high school. Like
100%.
And yet at life, crushing, right?
Amazing. I know. And I always have so much respect. I have a couple of friends that I came up with in acting who had barely graduated high school. And yeah. they were always hiding things from me, sort of, because they were like, oh, you're going to judge me.
They're embarrassed.
You're going to judge me. And I go, you're my fucking hero. You're such a scrapper. Yeah. You were a survivor. Yep. They dropped you on Hollywood Boulevard one day when you were 17 and you figured it out. I love those people. I love them. And they get maligned because they're hungry and they are determined. And I'm like, listen, those people are survivors. You got to give them their props. They're not always easy, but they're amazing.
But you made such a good point, because I say this very often about my children is, you know, and as I said, I have two boys, and at the core, they're the same, but they're totally different, and they're different learners, and they're different this. And one of them, I'm like, okay, he's going to solve the national debt or like become like cure cancer.
Right.
But I have to figure out how he can function in life first. Right.
Right.
And then the other one, I'm like, okay, he can literally just cruise through anything with ease and whatever. And then trying to convince him to go to college when he knows that like he kind of doesn't have to, because he's probably really going to be able to just like, I think these kids are going to be entrepreneurs. I think they're going to start, I think they're going to be raising money for their third company by the time they graduate high school.
Okay. So then, but they're boys. And this is what I wanted to find out from you.
Yes.
Why I was like excited to talk to you in this way.
Yes.
So becoming a woman founder, business owner, entrepreneur is, it's just different than it is for men.
Yes.
Were you ever in a position, did people approach you and convince you to do X, Y, Z business-wise? Did you come up with an idea and have to go out and get money for it? Like what direction was it?
So it's very interesting. We came up with ideas and we just kind of started it within our infrastructure, because we had formed the Zoe Report, right? Back in 2009.
Right.
And at one point we had 100 employees. And then we spun a business out of that, which is our curation business, which is Curator. So we did that with our teams, right? And then I had my brand and my collection and all of that, which now I have since bought back, and we had partners. And so that's like long, long, long.
You had investors in all of that? Like somebody had to come along
with
and
my
kind of.
Different in all cases. Right now, the answer is, you're supposed to have other people's money. You're supposed to raise money for different ventures.
Yes.
What's interesting about us is we're very unconventional. We didn't. And we just kept kind of fueling our own fires, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then we sold the Zoe Report, which is now owned by Bustle Digital Group. And they own like Nylon, W, Bustle, all of that. Which is amazing. And I'm still incredibly close to them. And I work very closely. I still do a lot with them. So it's just not on the day to day. And it's doing so well. So I'm so happy about that. But I think with what you're speaking of, we actually launched Rachel Zoe Ventures. And now we have our second fund where we get a ton of opportunities to become part of other companies and invest. So they're like, oh, we want Rachel Zoe on the cap table. We want Roger's operational skills. So we'll come in and kind of help, you know, we advise, it's strategic capital, and we put money in other companies. So now we have portfolios.
How did you learn how to do this? Because this is where I am right now, and I don't know what I'm, it's very scary to.
But you will. It's terrifying. Terrifying.
But you're like,
entrepreneur life is scarier than anything you'll ever do.
It's terrifying.
Including motherhood. Including motherhood.
And you're putting your money and your reputation and all of the hours in the day and then some on the line, and you're not sure.
Yes.
You're never sure.
Yes. Never.
Was it good to have a partner? Was it good to have Roger there like alongside you? Because you had somebody to like balance you and he knew what he was doing.
Almost everyone has a partner in some regard. It doesn't have to be a co-CEO, but you have a partner, because almost always creative people need an operational person.
Right.
Because it's very hard to crush at both.
Yeah.
I am so hyper aware of what I'm good at and what I suck at. And Roger really excels at what I really don't. And so that really works. Don't get me wrong. I want to stab him like once a week, but like, it's like, I'd rather want to do that to him than like another person. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So, but being an entrepreneur and, you know, and almost everyone I've had on the podcast is one, it's like the ups, downs, highs, lows, terrors of being an entrepreneur. The highs are the highest and the lows are the lowest. And it's terrifying. Right. Some people only function with other people's money for whatever reason. Roger and I always have had our money in it. And I think it's good to have outside capital, especially strategically, because I think that having money that's helpful is invaluable. And so, you know, and you can't know everything. You only know it through experience. If you talk for every entrepreneur you speak to, they will give you the best story and the worst story. They will give you their journey. And it's just hard because it's you. It stops at you, right? When you're playing a role on a show or in a film, it doesn't stop at you, right? Like, you do your part and then everyone else does their part. When you're a CEO,
so much
it stops there.
Right.
It's terrifying.
Exactly. So did you know what to do, or did Roger know what to do when you were first going, expanding into these new businesses? Or were you like, we'll just figure it out as we go? We're just going to figure it out.
No, Roger is business. Like, he got his MBA. He's wicked smart. He's very entrepreneurial. He was an investment banker for 8 years. He then started the Webby Awards. Like, he's, you know, so his background is the polar opposite of my background. And what happened with me, mine is literally through, I didn't go to business school. I didn't learn corporate finance, none of that. So for me, it's been literally, to go back to our earlier point about education, across the board, I learned more in my working life in a month than I probably learned in 4 years of college. Not that you shouldn't go to college, because that's where I grew up. But I will say that for me, life learning and being so involved in so many businesses over the last 20 years on every kind of business, beauty, fashion, kids, you know, product, toy, I mean, you name it. So I think there's just a lot of on the ground knowledge that I got. And then with Roger, we just kept getting these inbound requests for me to be involved in different types of companies, to be on the board, to be an advisor, to be an ambassador, to help with marketing, to do social posting, whatever it was. And then, so we would invest, and that was more of like a side hustle fun thing that we did. And then over the last probably 3 years, 4 years, we formally started doing Rachel Zoe Ventures, and we launched our second fund. And now we're talking about doing our third, because we like having our hands in different types of businesses.
You literally have a fund. I can't even tell you, like, you're a fucking God. You have a fund. You're like,
not at all.
I mean, do you dress different for that? I just have to know. Like, you're like,
no.
Fund,
do you know what?
Funding?
No. I don't. I literally don't. I literally don't, because 100%. I probably have them next. Yeah. I mean, always. I mean, listen, I think you get to a point in your life where you're just like, I am who I am. I literally was at school the other day. And Skylar, who's now in sixth, one of his girlfriends was like, oh my God, I love your shoes. Where did you get them? And Skylar goes, oh, that's just my mom. She wears those all the time. Those are like her slippers. Like, he literally said that. And I was like, oh my God. Cause you think they're kind of like not paying attention, but like they are. And I think my kids at this point are just sort of like, oh, that's just my mom. Like, it's just
that's
my mom.
Fantastic, like, though, because it is you. So you don't have to water it down to be out there. And, but it was also rewarded along the way. I mean, like, who you are, what you amplified it, you refined it, you honed it, and we get, it comes across as this confidence bomb that everybody would love to have. And I get a lot of street cred. See, I get a lot of street cred for going to good schools, but like you said, it doesn't really matter.
But yeah,
people give me the benefit of the doubt on that one.
No, but here's the thing. I don't want to undersell that, because I think the thing about being in good in school, it is a comfort zone for really intelligent people, because it is, you know, my niece is like that. And now she's starting, she just started a kick-ass job. And it's funny, she called me and she was like, wait, she was like draying over which sheets to get for her new bed. She's 22. She's graduated the Ross School of Business. And I'm like, she's never gotten anything less than like, and she graduated with like 18 freaking honors. And I'm like, she's like, wait, why did you know what sheets to get? And like, you did that in like 4 minutes. And I'm like, I'm like, these are just like life things we learn as we graduate and go into life. And she was like, and it was so funny, because I was like, literally, if you asked her anything, if you tested her anything, if you challenged her with anything, like she would just kill it. But if you ask her to get from like my hotel room to the lobby, there's a chance she'd get lost. There's a chance.
Right.
But that's not how you are. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, I think insanely intelligent people, it's like an ownership. They know they can do this, and it's not easy to do. So I think we need those people. But I think that academics, they learn life, right? Because they've been in a book, right? And so as you live your life, dude, you're crushing life. You're fucking killing it. So don't even say it.
It's hard though, I worked really hard. I took
a single mother of three boys. That is light. Talk about life challenge.
That's not easy. That part's not easy.
No. Entrepreneurs know climbing to the top starts at the beginning. At Genesis, they're all about beginning. It's right there in the name, because the beginning is where the action is. Sure, things are up in the air in the beginning, but that's what makes them thrilling. Genesis has harnessed all that excitement into their performance SUV, the GV70. Turn heads with stunning design inside and out. The GV70 features the silhouette of a coupe and the capability of an SUV. Discover intuitive technology inside the GV70 with a 14.5-inch infotainment system, fingerprint recognition, and available Lexicon premium audio. Enjoy an exhilarating drive in the GV70 featuring standard all-wheel drive and available electronically controlled suspension, plus exceptional handling and agility. I used to dread driving around LA because of the traffic, the stop and go, the blaring sun, always getting directly into my eyes, no matter what time of day it is. But thanks to Genesis and their GV70, driving around here isn't too bad, especially when I'm driving in style. Every Genesis is a reminder to try something new, to keep growing, keep hustling, keep beginning. What will you begin? Learn more at genesis.com. Genesis, keep beginning.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Career-wise, you know, I knew you get to a point where you know what to do. You go out there and you get shot down. But if you get shot down 20 times, the 21st time, you're probably going to get a job. And you know what to do. And you kind of have this team of agents or whatever. They literally hand you the material and you go and you do your thing. To step outside of that comfort zone and go, okay, I think I'm going to try to produce, and I'm going to try to do a product line because it's COVID and I'm going insane and I need to do something. And then have to actually live with these choices that are terrifying and see them through. You can't just quit. You can't walk away.
No, you can't. No, you actually really can't.
No, you can't.
That's the hardest part.
And I wonder how women do this all the time, especially with kids and prioritizing and people always said, how do you balance life when you're an actor? I'm like, it's not that hard. I mean, I'm really busy, but it's just once I leave the set, I get to come home. There's not a thousand phone calls about like, so what you did in that third scene, we know about that. You know, where now my life is just like, you've got a meeting with potential investors and you have to do this, you have to do this. It never stops.
And it's terrifying, how do you, like, because it's on other people's.
Yeah. Work expands and expands. And especially in the era of Zoom and everything, there's no such thing as a weekend. So everything is just this giant monster that can take all of your time and attention.
It's true. But don't you think in a way acting kind of, because I know for me, like styling, I never had a weekend until I had children. Mm. I never knew what a Saturday or Sunday was versus, you know, a Tuesday.
Because that's when you were working the hardest. Yeah.
No, because all of you guys could only do fittings on weekends or photo shoots on weekends. So I think, but I would imagine that acting really prepares you very much for other parts of life because, you know, first of all, the ability to handle rejection, that's something that you can't prepare for. And I think when people become entrepreneurs, that's the first thing that is the biggest challenge is how much rejection is involved, whether it's from a retailer, investor, you know, I'm sorry. It's like how when models used to be very, you know, exclusionary and they'd be like, you're too heavy. Your skin's too dark. You have freckles. We don't want freckles. Sorry. Mm-hmm. You look too old, like all those things. And I think that being an entrepreneur, those are the challenges. You walk into this room, you have the idea of the century. You're so confident and you walk in and they're like, no, this doesn't make sense for us. This isn't the kind of thing we do. We don't want inventory. We don't want whatever, right? Or it's so saturated, that market, whatever. There's just a million and one reasons why people don't want to become part of something. And I actually think my father, who is an entrepreneur, self-made entrepreneur, and he was amazing at raising money. And I said, Dad, how did you do this? He said, because I never gave up. If the people that I was going to as my go-to weren't investing, then I found different money somewhere else. I went to Asia, I went to Europe, I went to wherever. And he said to me, there's no better humbling than raising money. He's like, there's no better kick in the ass or learning lesson that you will ever have in your life than going out to raise money. Because you learn what's wrong with your business. You learn, because those people, you have to think about it like, when you're raising money for a company or an idea, the people that you're going to likely have looked at 100 this month.
Right.
And so they're seeing everything.
Yeah.
So they know. So they may be giving you advice and saying, hey, come back when? Come back with proof of concept. Come back when you've made a little bit of, you know, EBITDA or whatever. But like, I think at the end of the day,
EBITDA. I just learned this phrase like 2 months ago. And that's exactly the sort of thing that like you can act your way through a lot of calls. And then someone says, what's your EBITDA? And you go,
I know. Right. Sorry, which is why you need the partner because Roger answers that question.
That's good.
So
that's
you're very aware. Good.
Very good.
Roger answers that question. No, I'm telling you. But I want to talk about this product because here's the thing. Did you come to a point where you're like, okay, I've had a long career in acting. I've clearly crushed this. Okay. I'm now a single mom of three boys. That is also a full-time job, but hey, I'm going to start a new full-time job. Cool. Okay. Like at what point were you like, okay, what was the aha moment that possessed you to do such a thing? I need to understand that.
My friend, Jill Byron, who was the other JB of JB Scrub, we were moms together at school and we had all boys. And she had, she'd had a long career at Condé Nast and knew that world and knew much more about the beauty business and everything. And we were just complaining that boys smell and that the expectation is that they're just going to like hose themselves down with like the dreaded, I won't even say the name. And that was like, but no one, they don't actually get clean. No one's, they've been abandoned. We're like, they just can't. You leave them in the bathroom and we don't know what happens. They come out as disgusting. Eventually they'll care. And then they'll be like 18 or 20 maybe.
Yep.
So, and we thought that was a ridiculous idea. And she said, well, let's do something about it. I was like, they hand me words to say, and then I say the words. I don't know how to start a business or anything.
Sure.
She said, well, I know something in this area. I know at least how to get started. She knew manufacturers and formulators. And then it's taken over 3 years since our first conversation about this. And during which time we had COVID. So yeah, it's well over 3 years. So it was all in all, it was like baby steps until, because you go to the lab and then you don't like this formulation, you put in your kit, it turns their skin red. You get back to the lab again, you know, like all that stuff. That was actually kind of straightforward and easy. Cause you're like, okay, we want to make a product that works, that's gentle, that doesn't make kids stink like heavy chemicals. Yep. But we also don't want to treat them like little babies. They're not, this isn't baby stuff, you know? And
By the way, this is why nobody's done it. It's scary. There's a lot of hurdles with teenagers, let alone teenage boys, right?
Well, we found these designers to do our packaging, who are these two guys who are Matt and Ron, and they are incredible because we met with so many different package designers, and they were all like super professional, but they wanted to do like a green leaf and a clear bottle, and you know, and these dudes came in, they're surfers and skateboarders, and they do they do zines still. Remember zines?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So these two. And they were like, they so got the vibe. And then it kind of like that piece falls into place. You're like, okay, I know where we're going. And then you get the formulations to the right place. And we pushed it along until we felt really confident about what we had. And now we've launched JB Scrub. We've launched 5 SKUs. It's really exciting, but it was so much like, you've got to get to launch. And now it's like, you need some money. You're going to have to go get some money really quick now. And like, but then everybody, like you said, they want to know, they want 6 months of data points.
Sure. Yeah.
Nobody wants to take a flyer until they see what they can get. So that's where we are right now, which is, and also terrifying. Then there's also people that like pop out of the woodwork and are like, just give me 40% of your business and I will promise you the moon.
Sure.
And
you're like,
there are times when that sounds so great because
of course
it's like,
it is.
Because someone's going to just do it for me. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. We're not doing that.
No.
Not yet.
You can't do that. You can't do that yet. I think a little bit is okay if it's worth it. You know, a little bit is okay if they're adding value and know what they're doing. And so
Rachel, you just said the good money is so valuable was that the term you used? Good money? It was such a great concept that there is good money.
There is good money, and good money is life-changing, because there's people that'll say, okay, I'll give you $1 million. I'll give you $5 million. I'll give you $10 million. And then you never see them. What do you do with that money? Right. What are you doing? Right.
Right.
Versus someone who might give you less money, but say, hey, I'm going to help you because I have this connection. I have this connection. I'm best friends with the person who's the head buyer at blah, 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 or you need to do this because I already know that this product tried to do this and failed miserably. And this is why.
Right.
So it's strategic capital, in my opinion, for young, new entrepreneurs is invaluable. It's what you need. It's you need the people that aren't living it 24/7 to get their hands in it and help. And whether that's staffing, whether it's support, whether it's marketing, whether it's financial advising, to me, that is the money that's sometimes the hardest to get, but the most valuable, you know?
I agree. And knowing which is which.
It's terrifying.
That you don't, because you could also end up with somebody who seemed charming and lovely and great, and then they are controlling and weird and make your life.
You need someone proven. You need someone proven that someone close to you has worked with.
That's right.
It's like finding, finding a family assistant. You're not just going to take a stranger. It's going to be someone who is coming from someone that you know and trust with your life. Right.
It's because the same kind of thing all over that. Do you ever get scared still?
Every day of my life about something.
Really?
I mean, about something. I mean, that's who I am. I mean, I've been scared since I was 25 and went freelance. Fear is kind of what drives me. So I always say to people, like, I really think that it's for me, not for everyone, but it has really served me to kind of have a healthy fear about everything I do, because there's that fear that paralyzes you that you can't get out of bed, but there's a fear that is those butterflies in your stomach that drive you to do better, to be better, to keep going, to just kind of not trip over yourself, right? But also don't get ahead of yourself, because, you know, It's what works for me. It's a lot of psychology, but I think, you know, I'm still always going to think no one's showing up. I'm still always going to think no one's going to support me. And I think, again, it's because I haven't always had support in my life, right? For every person that has supported me, there's three that don't. So I think I've always just gone at things in this very kind of like, you know, I'm very blessed. I have an amazingly supportive family. I have healthy kids. I have a great husband. Everything else is just, I'm going to just go forward, right? I'm going to go forward. And I had to learn that, you know, because, you know, there's people that make decisions about you in your life that have never met you. And you're mm-hmm. like, I don't understand. But you have those people around you that are like, fuck them, Julie. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I know you, like, right? I mean, and so I think though you have to just keep going because what's your choice, right? You have to keep going. Right.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But when taking on new ventures is always scary. And there is that weird phenomenon, although I'm discovering in equal parts, the weird phenomenon of women backing away from other women who mm-hmm. need mm-hmm. help or support. Mm-hmm. And then the flip side of these, so many people coming in to fill that void, so many funds, so many women founders, there's all the groups, literally, like all of a sudden I'm being invited to these, like, come to my living room on Thursday and talk about female founders. I'm like, yes, I love this. Yes. I need this. It's really exciting. And I don't know why, because we've all been, I guess since the...
Well, this is new to you. People. So it's exciting. Yeah. Yes. It's exciting. It's exciting. And I think that right now, you know, you're such a super mom. And again, like, you've had so much success. And I think that now you're like, okay, how do I win at this? Right. So, but I think that academic younger girl is sort of like, it kind of goes back to that a little bit of like, mm-hmm. how do I get really good at this? Right. Mm-hmm. But I think that's part of the fun of it. And I think if you didn't have that fear of this and like, you know, it's funny because as an actor, like you said, like, you got that, you know how to do that. You know, the routine for that. You're still learning this one. So you have that fear still, right? But so that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's because it involves other people, whereas acting only involves you. Yeah, and I think that's been the thing for me with taking outside money is sort of like, hey, if it's our money in our world, we can control that, right? Right. If I take other people's money, oh God, now I have to explain it to them and I have to tell them what I'm doing and I have to whatever. And I'm not great at that. I'm better at being my own boss. Right. I'm better at being my own leader.
So what do you do then? I mean, like, how do you rely on, do you delegate that? Or do you get on those calls and tell people like, we're spending $500,000 on this thing that sounds ridiculous, but you're going to love it?
Well, I think if you take outside capital, a lot of those people are going, they're going to want to know what you're doing with that capital.
Right. 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 Right.
They are.
No, absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
And that's why I always say there's pros and cons, you know, there's pros and cons. You should take outside capital, but be careful who it comes from.
We're going to, because we've bootstrapped to this point. We've gotten JV Scrubs like to market on our own. And there's,
I'm excited. I need to try it.
We'll send you some. I'll send you some.
Please send it to me because I'm dying to, like, you know, it's funny. Sky's 11 turning 12 next week. And, you know, he doesn't smell yet, but it's like, you know, they still smell like baby kids still, but I can tell you that some of his friends really do smell and it's awful.
Well, what happened with my kids? Soon. Yeah, with boys, before they start smelling, one day they all of a sudden close the bathroom door and you're not allowed in.
I'm dreading this. I know.
Right. So up until that moment, you can go in there and go, did you wash in your butt? Like, did you wash in your pits? And there comes a day when the door closes and you're like, and they come out sort of slimy. You're like, did you use soap? Did you wash it off? And it's they're kind of disgusting, but you aren't allowed. I have no idea. I haven't seen my children's penises in years. So you kind of go, I don't know what's happening anymore. And they were like released into the wild with no skills. Girls seem to learn complicated skincare routines and stuff. And the boys, no one teaches them. So like literally on our packaging, it says like, pits, nuts, butts in that order. And there's not a ton of time. there's not a ton of tiny, tiny writing. Like they can like look at it and be like, okay, I got this. Like we just assume that they're going to be lost until finally someone in college tells them like about proper routine or something because they're having sex.
100%.
Yeah, we really do. That's why we wanted to create this skincare line, was to get these kids.
I think it's amazing.
Yeah, early, so before they before they stink, before they have acne. Like,
yeah,
learn how to take care of this whole situation, and then you can meet the next challenges when they come. But they don't.
I mean,
no one's talking to them.
It's very interesting because girls are obsessed with it, right? Girls are obsessed with products and their routines and all of that. I remember Roger used to call my niece my little pony because she's literally like 100 strokes in her hair. She would brush it. And, you know, it's funny because when I had boys, everyone's like, did God just laugh at you? Like, was God just like laughing at you when he gave you boys? Like, do you even know what to do with them? And I'm like, yeah, I make sure they're clean. I make sure they're like whatever. But it's funny because I am absolutely sure that my older son is me as a boy. I'm like raising myself as a boy. So he's going to be like immaculate.
Right.
He's going to be like, oh my God, mom, I have to brush my teeth again. Oh my God, mom, I have to go. My little one, 100%. Yeah. There's a chance he'd leave with no pants on. There's a chance he would like 100%. I don't know how that's going to go. I'm just going to be chasing him with like, and products. I'm just gonna be chasing them.
Exactly.
Products.
And that when that door closes, I'm telling you.
Because he doesn't care.
Like, what's happening in there? Tell me, like, at least give a shout.
I've been warned about this.
It's bad when it happens because there's a real drop off. Because for so long, they're like practically going, mom, wipe my butt. And then the next day.
100%.
And you're not allowed in the bathroom. And I'm like, well, your underwear is still looking pretty dank, buddy. I think we've still got some more to work out before we're really ready to let you fly. Okay.
I'm so dead. And this is such a hole because it's such a hole in the market. And I think it's so brilliant because I do think as a whole, boys from birth make up 10% of product, clothing, and everything else. And I think that this is such a niche that needs to be filled. It's such a white space. And so I would think that people would want to get behind this, especially once they see the product, because I do think it's something no one talks about. And I think because of who you are, you talking about it and advocating for it is just brilliant. Like it's just it's almost like it could only come from you. And I think it's genius because I think all we've ever seen for teen and acne across boys, girls, and any adolescent at all, I think is proactive, right? Like that's the only thing we've ever seen. So I think this is something where it's like, wait, body care? Boys aren't going to be gross anymore.
I sent this stuff to, and I hope he's okay with me saying it. Oh, well, too bad. He says I am. Nolan, my fake son on Modern Family. I just sent him some JB scrub. Okay. And he goes, Julie, I'm going to tell you something. He's 23, 24 now. Right. We had dinner the other night and he goes, I never washed my face. And now there's this stuff that says face wash. And I'm like, oh, I guess I use that on my face. And now I wash my face. Because he literally is like face wash. And I was like, that's what it took? It took a bottle. Say, that's what he does. Yeah.
And it's true.
My mind. And he's a beautiful, talented, successful person. But he's like, why
isn't
would I
that
wash
amazing?
My face?
But like isn't there such injustice? Like, really? Roger, literally, I got all this incredible, like, Barbara Sturm product, right? Which I die for. And now she has, like, certain products for men. And I handed it to Roger, and he was like, what do I do with it? I was like, How about use it? He goes, like with water? I'm like, are you okay? You're 54 years old.
No, but that's where I think we had to literally come up with our face wash. It foams right out of the pump because boys don't know how to lather under the water.
Lathering would be confusing. Lathering would be confusing.
I mean, it's like it has to be like we made sure that the cap on like the toner pads, it's stuck, it's on it. Like they still have to close it, but they can't find my kids can't put the top back on toothpaste. They can drive a car before they can do that. It's insane.
Billion percent. It's this is brilliant. I cannot wait to see it. Honestly,
I'll send it to you. It's awesome. It's really great, and the packaging is incredible.
And I like honestly, like I've always loved you. I've always just been drawn to you. Obviously, you're such a brilliant actor and such a talent. But like, I think what people may not know is what a super mom you are, and now entrepreneur. And feeling the pains again. I think that's why I wanted to do this pod, is to talk about how real it is and the journeys, because they're terrifying. And for everyone that I've had on here, from I don't know, Candace Nelson to Shawnee Darden, Nikhil, like all these incredible entrepreneurs, it's everyone has a story, and it's terrifying and it's life-changing, and there's fears, there's challenges, there's triumphs, but yet no one would ever give it up for anything. Cause it's like, you really love it. Cause you really live it and you love it. And your purpose is just, it's just, you're drawn to it. And I think like listening to you talk about it is so, it's like, sign me up, right? Like, I want it all.
You were sent, you're putting real women in the center of your story, which I think is really interesting. Growing up, you know, we all grew up with the idea of like Susan Day on LA Law, you know, like in like the sharp suit and everything. And that we didn't have to see kids or the messiness or like dealing with her husband or any of that. And the idea now that actual real women, and even ones in furs and jewels and shoes can be bosses and can also have a family and can do all these things. It's really important that we see the whole spectrum of women at the center and not just the ones who've got like the razor bob and the like.
Yes. And by the way, that's why it's called Climbing in Heels. Because you can get there. You can still wear your heels. You can still be your like feminine self and embrace all your femininity and your power and your superpower. And whatever that looks like, it's like to have it, to own it, to live it in all its realness. And I think it's okay that we talk about it, you know? And I think it's about relatability, and I think it's about learning and really being okay with being scared and making a fuck ton of mistakes along the way, right? Because how many have we made? Partners.
Yeah, but traditionally women have not been allowed to make as many mistakes. You know, you get a couple shots at bat, and plus you better do it all while you're young and nothing is sagging. Because God forbid. So, you know, stepping into your power as somebody who's over the age of 20, it can be challenging. And I'm over the age of 50, so fuck it, man. I got to make it happen. And I love how
I never looked fucking better. Right
you.
Back at you. Right back at you. Thank
I
you.
I love
Mama.
It.
But
thank
listen,
you.
We're all just doing it, right? And we're just, listen, fuck all of them with this aging out shit. They can fuck off.
Yeah, fuck them. Fuck them all. I finally have a clue about what I'm doing in the world. I still am doing scary new things but I wouldn't have had the wherewithal to do them when I was 25.
Of course not.
So here we are, like appreciate my life experience, and let's, you know, and most of all, let's help each other. Cause that is, I love this whole message that you're putting out here for your listeners. There's a lot of hand motions in big circles. Like it's inclusive and
it is,
it's loving is. And it's boss. And I love it.
Oh, well, I love you dearly. And I will see you very soon. I feel like we have lots of baby to baby stuff coming up, but
we sure see you
outside of that. And I'm also here for anything on the other side of that.
Thank
too,
you. You know, thank you, Rachel.
So really,
I cannot thank you
I'm
enough.
Here.
You have
of
opened
course.
My eyes, and I will try not to be scared of you the next time I see you. It's always just about how you'll like float out of a car in like Mongolian sheep jacket. And I'm like, I'm wearing my old cashmere from J. Crew, and I'm so embarrassed. I don't want her to see
Listen, Julie, I have heard this my entire adult life, even in my teen life. I always was met with this. I was so scared of you when I met you.
Oh,
and then
good,
you were
good.
Like,
so I'm not
silly.
Alone.
But no, because I'm the funny part, the irony is I'm then like 2 days later, they're like, I can't believe I was scared of you. Like, because I'm such, I'm so like, I'm so like real, just living in an insane industry. Like I always say, I'm this kind of like, no, I don't want to say normal because I don't even know what normal is, but like, I'm kind of this somewhat normal person living an insane life. But yeah. I have always been this very like, weirdly like introvert, very self-deprecating, very silly, make fun of myself all day and like take a lot of humor in life. I'm very serious about my work, but like in life, I'm just, you know, you got to laugh or it's like, what the hell are we doing here? Right.
Well, thank you. Thank you for making things so real. And thank you for like, for being the goofy, funny, relatable person that you are. And I will try not to be terrified of your Mongolian.
Never. Or I'm going to come
lamb.
Knock you over.
Your Persian
lamb. Knock you
lamb.
Over with my coat. It's that time in the show when I answer two listener questions. So let's see what we have for today. Okay, question one. How do you maintain your confidence as a business leader? I mean, it's a hard one. I'm not always confident for sure. I mean, I'm most of the time not confident, but I would say there are definitely aspects of my business I'm more confident in than others. But I would say I am definitely very confident as a leader, if that makes any sense. Like I'm very confident leading my team or advising my team or mentoring my team. And I think that's mainly because I've just had years of experience. And my father, who is a very successful self-made entrepreneur, taught me that confidence really comes with experience. So I think that some people have an innate confidence, you know, just in life. I'm definitely not one of those people. But I would just say that when you're leading people, even if you're feeling insecure, you absolutely cannot show that ever. You have to always show your strongest self to your team. And if you want to feel insecure in private or to your closest people, I mean, I know I probably shouldn't be giving that advice, but for me, I think those insecure moments really don't share those with people who are looking up to you as a leader. I think you have to lead with confidence and strength. I think you can be honest, you know, don't be delusional, but I think it's important to always maintain a confident sort of air about yourself when you're leading a team. Okay, what's your advice for moving to New York City for the first time? Honestly, my advice for moving to New York City, obviously it depends on how old you are and sort of like where you are in your life. I lived in New York City literally for the best 10 years of my life, apart from, of course, having my kids. But I would say that it was the most fun, free, amazing decade of my life. And I think that New York is really a city that really doesn't sleep. And it's a time where you can get a bite to eat at 11 p.m. or 2 a.m. You can meet friends for a drink any time of day, night. I just think it has the most energy, the most style. I think you have to go to New York City with an open mind. It's loud. It's crowded. It's infuriating at times. And it is a concrete jungle. And I think at the end of the day, you have to embrace that and just go for it. Live your absolute best life. Dance on tables. Eat a lot, see theater, go to the ballet, do all the things, go to every museum, just live your best New York City life because, you know, when you burn out from it, you may want to leave or you may stay there forever. You know, it's not for the faint of heart, but I would say everyone should experience life in New York City if they can and if they can't afford it. It is absolutely worth it. Don't forget to submit your questions for next week's episode. All you have to do is DM us your questions to @climbinginheelspod on Instagram, and I might just answer your question. Welcome back to Currently with Curator, where I share my latest obsessions, all of which you can access through my shopping community, Curator. My spring curation is here. Throughout the season, I'm going to be telling you more about everything inside of it, item by item. This week, we're focusing on the Silky Sleep Mask by Skin Worldwide. I curated this box with spring vacation in mind, so I wanted to pack it full of pieces that make traveling feel more luxurious, and that's exactly what this mask does. Wear it on planes or trains or even in a hotel when you need your beauty sleep, as it shuts out light while keeping your delicate eye area protected and hydrated. The entire 5-product curation is valued at over $400, but it's yours for just $100 when you start your membership with my code ZOE25, ZOE25. These boxes are in limited supply, so head to curator.com. That's CURATEUR.com to claim this offer now. Thank you so much to Julie for coming on the podcast and opening up about her childhood, her acting career, and now her skincare career. And thank you so much for interviewing me at some points in this episode, because, you know, she's Julie Bowen and, you know, she has to have control of the situation, and she's so humble and funny and real and badass and smart and talented. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, as a single mom kind of working really hard and doing something really new, I think it's amazing for all of you to really hear kind of the raw and real of someone who's already had and lived a lot of successes. But it almost doesn't really matter, because when you're starting something new in a career pivot, or just ending, like sort of just beginning a whole new endeavor, it's just terrifying. And business is not a playground. It's scary. And there's a lot of things that come with it. And, you know, really one of the reasons that I started Climbing in Heels to begin with. So thank you all for listening. I hope you love this episode as much as I did, because I just had so much fun. We definitely could have kept talking forever and ever. And she kept turning it on me and I kept turning it back at her. But here we are. So I hope you love the episode. It's a good one. If you want more Climbing in Heels content, follow me on @RachelZoe and @ClimbingInHeelsPod on Instagram for more updates on upcoming guests, episodes, and all things Curator. And I'll see you next week.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.